All right, let's orient to history with a word of prayer. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the fact that Jesus Christ is in control of history as we study the historical progress during the church age, to be reminded in the ups and downs of history that our Lord and Savior is in control. Therefore, we dedicate these next few moments to an understanding of history and an understanding and a realization that Jesus Christ is in control. To this end, Father, we do pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, you never cease to be amazed. Just when I thought you would be most bored, some of you have come up and expressed that you liked, I remember one class, we just went through the period of the Crusades of filling in what's going on in history with just dates and statements. And so, because a couple of you are interested, let's just take the era that we're studying now and go through very quickly. I'm just going to give you some dates on the left column and some things that happened in history. You have to remember, now we're getting into some of the most progressive times of history. I don't have time to, I'm not going to go through English history with all the kings. You get lost in it. I'm just picking things that are interesting, things that some of you know about, and where these things fit into the chronology of history. When we come back to the church age, we will give you a chronology of England and of France and of Spain and of England. But all I'm doing here is just kind of filling you in on where and how things occurred. And you might want to have one page for each day. Of course, some of these you won't need that, but like in the 1400s, 1500s, you will. But let's get this out of the way. Then we'll get back to our study of Jerusalem. I was in Bryan this weekend visiting with a group of people down there who listened to our tapes and things, and one of the men asked what we were doing, and so I tell him about the survey class in Jerusalem, and he said he's going to start ordering it right away. He thought it sounded interesting, and I said, what would you believe about a year on Jerusalem? And he thought it was great, so, you know, he can go. Well, let's just go through this very quickly of orienting you. I have a stack of Jerusalem notes like this and couldn't find exactly where I left off on the last time we did this. So let me just start very quickly with 1100. 1109, St. Anselm. Some of these people, some of you know about, some of you don't, but they are extraordinarily important people in church history or in history or something that people can relate to. St. Anselm is important because he introduced the ontological approach of the existence of God consciousness, existence of God becoming God consciousness through the heavens and the laws of nature and things like that. 1120, you have scholastic philosophy developing in 1120. Apparently in 1120, playing cards are invented in China. A lot of these are trivia questions here for you, those of you who play that game. But playing cards are invented in China around 1120. 1136, Peter Abelard is on the scene. He has a great love relationship with Eloise. 1162, Thomas Becket is elected the Archbishop of Canterbury. Thomas Becket is elected the Archbishop of Canterbury. It's been moved. He's made of Thomas Becket. 1163, please forgive me, but the Notre Dame of Paris is built, beginning to be built. In 1163, Notre Dame is being built. 1167, Oxford University is founded. Oxford University is founded. A very important Jewish scholar whom we will study back in when we come to church history, Ben Ezra, B-E-N-N-E-Z-R-A, Ben Ezra, Jewish scholar. 1200, the founding of Cambridge University. Alcohol began to be used for medical purposes. And I'm not going to go through a lot, but from here on, you're going to have a lot of development in medicine, in music, but things that really aren't so much that we're going to talk about them even now. Also in 1200, engagement rings came into fashion. I've learned a massive material picking out things for this class, but try to just pick out things that are either of interest or importance. 1203, Genghis Khan begins. G-E-N-G-H-I-S-K-H-A-N. In fact, it's spelled many different ways. That's one word I could feel good in where I was. Any way I want to spell it, I'm in land. All right, 1213, Roman Catholic Church assumes full authority in England. 1213, the Roman Catholic Church in full authority in England. There's a lot of history as to why, but that's the fact. 1215, the Magna Carta with James King John. It comes into existence, and by the way, that copy that's in display in Dallas right now. 1218, this is an interesting fact. For those of you that like trivia, it's the only reason I'm giving it to you. 1218, the oldest national flag in the world, in other words, the oldest flag still in existence, was adopted by Denmark in 1218, and they still have the same flag. The oldest national flag in the world was adopted by Denmark. 1254, Marco Polo was born. And you know, he was a famous person, made his travels to China. He made the travels to China in 1295, but he was born in 1254. But we moved to China. I saw his house in Europe when he was there. It was one of the places he lived in. 1278, the invention of the glass mirror, ladies. The invention of the glass mirror. Also, Roger Bacon, B-A-C-A-N. Bacon is born. He is an English philosopher and scientist. Is born, 1278. 1288, Osman, O-S-M-A-N, of the founder of the Ottoman Empire that we're in the midst of studying with Jerusalem. So in 1288, you have Osman on the scene. I'm sorry, I forgot. I wrote this on the side, came up to it later. 1282. Just so those of you that are interested in history, in 1282, you have the beginning of the famous Habsburg family, H-A-P-S-B-U-R-G. They will be very important, very influential in history. If you do any reading from the 13th, 14th, right up to today, up to the 19th century, you will read about the Habsburg family of Austria. So this is the beginning of the Habsburg family in 1282. 1288, Osman. 1290, the very famous Dante, D-A-N-T-E, the Italian poet. He wrote many things, Divine Comedy, and several other famous writings. 1290, Dante. Also in 1290, Jim, I don't know if you know it, the invention of spectacles, you probably do. The invention of spectacles occurred in 1290. It'll be about 15 years before the people that are involved in medicine will get into that, but they were invented in 1290. Whoopee. All right. 1300. Urine examination as means of diagnosis is used in medicine. Thought you'd just be intrigued to know that. Urine is used. I don't know how and why that doctor or that guy came up with that one, but it might be a good reading. So 1300, you have that occurring in the medical field. This is 1300s now. 1305, you have the standardized measurements of the yard and the acre. The usage of the yard and the acre, and if you're interested, it's by Edward the First. 1327, the Aztecs established Mexico City. 1327, the Aztecs established Mexico City. 1328, very important name as a believer, John Wycliffe. John Wycliffe is born. He will die in 1384. He is a great English church reformer. And he was rejected, excommunicated, hated, and all the rest of it for his beliefs. But he is a very one of the, in very many areas, a very sound man, John Wycliffe. Also in this year of 1328, the invention of the sawmill. 1332, English Parliament is divided into two houses. 1332, English Parliament is divided into two houses. The bubonic, B-U-B-O-N-I-C, the bubonic plague originates in India. That's very important because you recall that one of the greatest areas of anti-Semitism coming up because they blamed the Jews for the bubonic plague when it came to Europe. But in 1332, it originated in India. 1337, beginning of the 100 Years' War between France and England. And I'm not going to get into that. That's where you have a lot of things going on between England and France, which we'll come to later. But that's the beginning of the 100 Years' War between France and England. Troy, here's one for you. 1337 is recorded as the first attempt of scientific weather forecasting. In 1337, the first attempt of scientific weather forecasting. And since we have a weatherman here, I'll give you his name. William Merlick, M-E-R-L-E-C, of Oxford. William Merlick of Oxford, the first attempt of scientific weather forecast. 1340, the very famous Geoffrey Chaucer, C-H-A-U-C-E-R, the Canterbury Tales author, was born in 1340. He will die in 1400. He is one of the primary English poets. Is Chaucer, and is one of his most famous, of course, is the Canterbury Tales, written in approximately 1387, in parentheses. 1347, the Black Death devastates Europe. The Black Death devastates Europe. Just to give you an idea, when we talk about dropping of bombs today, this Black Plague will kill one-third of the entire English population. Between 1347 and 1351, 75 million will die as a result of the Black Plague. So we talk about the dropping of bombs and all of that type of thing. This will give you some good fun material in that regard. Let's take a big jump. Not much is going to happen. 1388. The Scots, I don't know why I'm giving you this except for where they fought, and it'd be interesting to find out if this is where he got his name. The Scots defeat the English in 1388. The Scots defeat the English in the Battle of Chevy Chase, spelled exactly the same way as the movie star. So if he picked that name for that, it would be a good trivia question for finding out anyway. It's the only reason I gave you that one. So you can't believe the massive things I've gone through to pick these things out. But it's been fun. I've enjoyed the hours and things. All right. 1396. We have the birth of a very, very famous man for the upcoming movement in history. Johann, J-O-H-A-N-N, Gutenberg, G-U-T-E-N-B-U-R-G, B-E-R-G, Gutenberg. Of course, he is the inventor of the printing press. Born in 1396, he will die in 1468. The 1500s really start changing history. And the printing press and the 1400s, all of these things set the stage for what's going to happen in the 1500s. The Reformation changes the church position. The printing press changes the position. Some inventions in warfare. A lot of things caused everything that's happened in the past 400 or 500 years of history. This is one of the most important. 1400, you have the beginning of the early Renaissance period. Early Renaissance period. R-E-N-A-I-S-S-A-N-C-E. The early Renaissance period. So now we're in the 1400s. 1412, Joan of Arc is born. Joan of Arc is born. She will die at a young age in 1431, and you know the story of her death. Joan of Arc is born in 1412, burned at the stakes in 1431. Totally arrogant and out of line woman, but very mild treated too, also just prior to her death. 1428, Joan of Arc leads the French armies against England. Joan of Arc leads the French armies against England. We're still in the Hundred Year War period. 1430, modern English is developed. Modern English is developed. In case you're interested, it is developed from what we call Middle English. 1431, Joan of Arc is burned at the stake. She was kept in a very cruel prison hole, and both prisoners and guards were allowed to rape her at will, and just a very horrible, total lacking. She certainly was a horrible person in history, but also did not deserve that type of treatment. No woman does, of course. 1451, Christopher Columbus is born. Christopher Columbus is born, so you have another person that's important to what's going to be happening in history. He will die in 1506. 14, just load the names as they start flowing now that we know about and why everything is changing. 1500s. 1451, Christopher Columbus is born with his enthusiasm, his lack of fear and adventurous attitude. 1452, Leonardo da Vinci is born. He will die in 1519. 1453, England pulls out of France, ending the 100 Year War. 1454, Gutenberg prints the first Bible, not all of it, but parts of the first Bible. 1453, the printing press, the Bible, adventurers, art, all these people are being born at this particular period of history. 1466, the first Bible printed in German. The first Bible printed in German. If you're interested, his name is Johann Mentel, Johann Mentel. 1475, Michelangelo, Michelangelo is born. Michelangelo is born. He will die in 1564. So we've had the birth in 1451 of Columbus, 1452, Leonardo da Vinci, and then in 1475, Michelangelo. 1478, very famous English statesman Thomas More, another very important, colorful man in history. Thomas More is born. He will die in 1535. 1480, beginning of the Spanish Inquisition with Ferdinand and Isabel. Beginning of the Spanish Inquisition, slaughtering of Jews by Ferdinand and Isabel in Spain. Leonardo da Vinci invents the parachute. Isn't that amazing? Talk about getting the cart before the horse. We have the parachute before the plane. But there you have it anyway. You can jump off a mountain. But Leonardo da Vinci invents the parachute. Also in 1480, important man as far as myths are concerned and legends, the German magician George Fouts, F-A-U-T-S, is born, of the very famous Fouts legends. 1483, Martin Luther is born. 1483, Martin Luther is born. He will die in 1546. I don't know how many of you are familiar, but there's so many, and I can't put them all down. But also in 1483, a very famous Italian painter is born, Raphael Santi. R-A-P-H-A-E-L-S-A-N-T-I is born. 1484, very important man to your heritage as a Christian, Ulrich Zwingli. Zwingli is born. U-L-R-I-C-H, and then Zwingli, Z-Z-W-I-N-G-L-I. Ulrich Zwingli is born. He's a Swiss reformer. He will die in 1531. He also will be banned as a heretic and all the rest of it. But this is when he's born. He's a very famous man. 1489 is an interesting thing because we see it nearly every time I teach on the board. 1489, we have the symbols of the plus and minus came into use. The symbols of a plus and minus came into use in 1489. 1492, he invented the parachute, so he thought he better have something to do with it. Da Vinci draws the first drawing of a flying machine. Da Vinci draws his first drawing of a flying machine. The first terrestrial globe is built. The first terrestrial globe is built in 1492. You can just see how the minds of people are beginning to expand during this time. For also 1492, you remember your song from childhood, Ferdinand and Isabel of Spain financed the voyage of Columbus to the New World. Also in 1492, Ferdinand and Isabel of Spain financed the voyage of Columbus to the New World. Columbus is 41 years of age when he set out on the Santa Maria. He left in August, discovered the Bahamas in October, Cuba in October, and Haiti in December. Also something that influences our society very heavily today, and every one of you, I'm sure, the profession of book publishers began to emerge. The profession of book publishers began to emerge this same year, 1492, and it was made up of three parts: the founder, the printer, and the seller. The founder of the company, the printer, and the seller. 1493, Columbus's second voyage, he discovers Puerto Rico, Jamaica, and Dominica. 1495, for those of you that do reading, is the beginning of the printing of Greek classics. 1495 is the beginning of the printing of Greek classics, and Aristotle was the first to be printed, the works of Aristotle. Also, if you buy sets of books, Everyman began in 1495, and the first Everyman was on morality. Also in 1495, Leonardo da Vinci's Last Supper was completed. So 1495, beginning of the printing of Greek classics, Aristotle, Everyman, and then the Last Supper. 1498, Michelangelo's Pietà was sculptured. P-I-E-T-A. Very beautiful. I saw that just recently. 1499, something you and I see every day. We open a paper. This is the first political cartoons. First political cartoons, 1499, they were between the French and Italian wars. That must have been very much fun. I mean, you could have a lot of fun between the French and the Italians. All right, now we begin the 1500s. The 1500s. 1,500. I've hit Doc and Troy, Tish, and some of you in Herbalife in 1,500. This is the first use of introduction of herbal medicine in 1,500. Brazil is discovered for Portugal. Black lead pencils are invented. And in also in medicine, the first Assyrian operation occurred. The first Assyrian operation occurred, 1500s. 1501, Michelangelo's David was begun. 1501, Michelangelo's David was begun, completed in 1504. Absolutely phenomenal piece of art. Let me give you right here some of the effects of the printing press. Some of the effects of the printing press from 1445. More, you can write this down or just be amazed by the numbers. But in that short time, more than 1,000 printing offices emerged. More than 1,000 printing offices emerged. They produced 35,000 books with approximately 10 million copies. They didn't have copiers either. So that's the effect of these things. Also by 1500, 1501, card games were of great popularity in Europe. Card games were of great popularity in Europe. 1503, Da Vinci's Mona Lisa. 1503, Da Vinci's Mona Lisa. For all of you gentlemen, the pocket handkerchief came into use in 1503. 1504, Venice and Turkey planned the construction of the Suez Canal. Very important man in your heritage, John Knox is born. John Knox is born. He will die in 1572. He is the leader of the Scottish Reformation in Scotland. He is the leader of the Scottish Reformation. Also by this time, there is a wide use and study of cubic equations. A widespread of cubic equations. Education, by the way, is also beginning to change in what students are being taught and all of that because of the emerging of medicine, math, astrology. More and more people want to study. Schools are open and developed. All of these things are going on that I'm not giving you. When you see something like that, you know this is having all of its effect on people who want to learn these things. 1507. Here's something all of you should probably know. I guess we all knew it at one time, but forgot. Let me give you his name. 1507, Martin, M-A-R-T-I-N, Waldseemüller, W-A-L-D, W-A-L-D, S, I think that's S-U-M-U-L-L-E-R, could be double E. Whatever. All right, Martin Waldseemüller proposes that the New World be called America. That the New World be called America, and of course it is, after Amerigo, A-M-E-R-I-G-O, Amerigo Vespucci, V-E-S-V-E-S-P-U-C-C-I. Amerigo is one of the top navigators in the world history of navigation. His dates are 1454 to 1512. He was an Italian navigator. He's given credit for discovering South America. So Waldseemüller proposes that the New World be called America, and so it is. Another date that you put in parentheses here because it's hard to give some of these people time slots. But 1469 to 1527, those of you that have done any philosophy, political philosophy and economic philosophy, Niccolo, N-I-C-C-O-L-O, Machiavelli, M-A-C-H-I-A-V-E-L-L-I. Niccolo Machiavelli, very important man in reading. I have nearly all of his writings and have read them. He's an Italian author and statesman. Such books as The Prince, Discourses, and then another one, On the Art of War, and others. But he is a very famous, political and historical philosopher, Niccolo Machiavelli. 1508, by the way, also in this whole time period, you have thinkers really coming to the forefront now. 1508, Michelangelo begins to paint the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. 1508, Michelangelo begins the painting, the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, completed in 1512. 1509, another very important man to your heritage, and Bob mentioned him when he was here, John Calvin is born. 1509, John Calvin is born. So we have Luther, Calvin, Zwingli, Knox, all these great people of the Reformation era are born now. John Calvin is born. He will die in 1564. He is a Swiss reformer. Also in 1509, Jews are greatly slaughtered and persecuted in Germany, and all Jewish books are to be burned. Doc, this is the first attempt. Also in 1509 is the first attempt to restrict the right of the practice of medicine. 1509 is the first attempt to restrict the right of practice of medicine to licensed and qualified doctors, which I think is fairly healthy. In case you wondered why Constantinople is really has nothing to do in modern history from 1500 on, in 1509, an earthquake destroyed Constantinople. Something that you might find interesting, since all of the hoopla about it. Roman Catholic Church encourages and engages in slave trade and transportation from Africa. Since the discovery of Africa and the discovery of the New World, the Roman Catholic Church took the primary leadership and made a lot of money, a lot of wealth, on slave trading to both Europe and the New World. In 1510, Leonardo da Vinci designed the horizontal water wheel. Leonardo da Vinci designed the horizontal water wheel. This, of course, is the beginning of the water turbine. 1513, Michelangelo's Moses. For those of you that have gone to Rome in 1513, Pope Leo X starts the sculptured gallery of the Vatican. In 1513, Pope Leo X starts the sculptured gallery of the Vatican. In 1514 is given the date as the beginning of modern anatomy. This was attributed to a Dutch physician, Vesalius, if you're interested, V-E-S-A-L-I-U-S. Vesalius. 1515, the Roman Catholic Church passes a decree, here's religion for you again, passes a decree that no books can be printed in the Roman Catholic Empire without the Roman Catholic Church permission. There's a lot of rebellion against the Roman Catholic Church by what will be called Protestants, but people all over the Roman Empire, so they're going to put a stop to all of that. 1515, Roman Catholic Church passes a decree that no books can be printed in the Roman Catholic Empire without Roman Catholic permission. 15:16. Erasmus, very important in history, publishes the New Testament with Greek and Latin text. Erasmus, another very important man in church history. 15:17, Luther nails his 95 theses on the door of the Catholic Church. Luther nails his 95 theses on the door of the Catholic Church in Wittenberg, W-I-T-T-E-N-B-E-R-G, and that's in October 31st. Almost celebration, day 31st, somewhere in here. But anyway, Wittenberg, and this is the beginning of the Reformation in Germany, 1517. So you think my sometimes 12, 13 points are long. He had 95 points. And he nailed them to the church door. All right. I guess the advantage there is if you don't want to read them, you don't have to. 1520. Luther is excommunicated, obviously. 1522. Luther begins the translation of the Bible into German. Also, flying machines are designed for war use. Some type of machine that could drop missiles. 1527, the first Protestant university is founded in Marburg, M-A-R-B-U-R-G. Also, 1527 is the Reformation in Sweden. 1528, the Reformation in Scotland. Time was ready for it. 1530, Ivan the Fourth, the Terrible of Russia, is born. Those of you that have any knowledge, and we've had some reading of Russian history in its past, Ivan the Fourth, the Terrible of Russia, is born. He will die in 1584. It's in the 1400s, late 1300s, that Moscow is first mentioned in history, and all of that's coming into play. 1531, a horrible war in Switzerland between Protestants and Catholics. There's a horrible war, another mark against Christianity, a horrible war in Switzerland between Protestants and Catholics. Swindley, by the way, is killed in this battle, in this war period. Rather than just live and let live, and you believe what you want to believe, Roman Catholics would not do that. They tried to continue to strong arm the people. The Protestants rebelled, so you have a war breaking out, and you have it, as you well know, in various portions of the world right now, where Protestants and Catholics are at war. We have not learned to live and let live under impersonal love. That doctrine by Bob is one of the most profound doctrines for practical living since faith rest, rebound, and doctrines in that area, in that sphere. Also in 1531, the first record of the Halley's Comet, and it aroused a wave of superstitions. The end of the world is near. All of these types of things started coming into play in 1531. 1532, the Reformation in France, led by Calvin. 1532, the Reformation in France. Another great man's name in the Christian line, 1536, William Tyndale, T-Y-N-D-A-L. We have the Christian Tyndale Press right now. I don't think what they put out is all that accurate, but they chose the name of an important man in Christian history, William Tyndale. He was an English reformer, and when they didn't like you then, they burned you at the stake. So he was burned at the stake for his theology. 1539, they took these things serious back then, see? 1539 is the recorded first Christmas tree. First Christmas tree at Strasbourg, S-T-R-A-S-B-O-U-R-G, 1539. 1540, a very horrible group of Catholics, the Order of the Jesuits. The Order of the Jesuits came into existence under Pope Paul III. Also in 1540, Jesuits are I don't want to be given this horrible of a connotation, but they're like the SS. I mean, they take care of you if you're not in line. let's see, also in 1540, the Grand Canyon was discovered. Also in 1540, ether was produced. Ether was produced. All right, 1541. John Knox leads the Reformation in Scotland. A very famous man whose work was just in Dallas this year. I hope you made your way over to see it. El Greco was born. El Greco was born in 1541. He would die in 1614. A lot of great artists in this era. Also in 1541, Coronados, C-O-R-O-N-A-D-O-S, Coronados expedition from New Mexico across Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas. Coronados expedition across New Mexico, Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas. Also, De Soto discovered the Mississippi River. 1542, Mary Queen of Scots, as a young girl, almost a baby, ascends to the throne. By the way, for your fun, the Mary Queen of Scots is attributed as being the first woman golfer. She is attributed with being the first woman golfer. 1543, the steamboat is designed. So you can just see, 15 on, everything in history changes. 1546, and Michelangelo designs the dome and completes the building of St. Peter's of Rome. Also around 1546, the middle of the 16th century, infection and diseases, a study in infections and disease was greatly advanced. Also greatly advanced was the work on the magnetic poles of the earth. I'm going to stop here in a moment and just do a little work on our study, and we'll finish this later. 1548, the first roof theater appeared, and that was in Paris. The first roof theater appeared, and it was in Paris. 1551, for some of you who enjoy life, this was the first licensing of taverns in England, alehouses. Occurred in England at this time, 1551. 1553, for you music lovers, we have the presence of the violin as we know it today. There's a history of its development, but the violin as we know it today came into existence, 1553. 1554, Sir Walter Raleigh is born. Sir Walter Raleigh, R-A-L-E-I-G-H, is born. He will die in 1618. He is an English explorer and author. Sir Walter. 1555. Tobacco is brought to from America to Spain, to Europe. 1558. Elizabeth I is claimed the Queen of England. Elizabeth I is claimed to be the Queen of England. This is the beginning of the Elizabethan literature and the Elizabethan prayer book and the Elizabethan Bible. I have an original Elizabethan Bible in my home, but this is the beginning of this era. 1559, those of you that know your history, 1559, Mary Queen of Scots assumes the title of the Queen of England. So begins the rivalry of Elizabeth and Mary Queen of Scots. 1560, and I'm going to stop here. 1560 is the beginning of the Puritanism. The beginning of Puritanism in England. It will run its course to 1660. Also in 1560, you had the persecution of the Huguenots. H-U-G-U-E-N-O-T-S. Some people pronounce it Huguenot. Huguenot, Huguenot apparently seems to be correct, either of the two. These were Christian Protestants, and they were persecuted and slaughtered by the Roman Catholic Church in various types of conspiracies to kill them. Now, let me just, we have 15 minutes left. Let's get a little work done on our work from last week. We dealt with the Mamluk period of Jerusalem, 1187 to 1517. All right, that's kind of where we are in our survey of history. The Turkish period. The Turkish period of Jerusalem is 1517 to 1917. So we've had the Muslims, the Christians, the Jews, all these people living in Jerusalem. I gave you a quick historical look of the Jews in 10 points. Gave you a quick view of the Jews in 10 points, taking you up to Nazi Germany in that survey. Just the persecution of what's happened to the Jews at various times. Then we studied, after looking at that, the Turkish period, 1517 to 1919. The first thing, under Roman numeral 1, I thought you should have at least just some grasp in your mind of the Turkish period, the Ottoman Empire, O-T-T-O-M-A-N. So we studied the Ottoman Empire, the development of it, and how it came about to be from Osman I. Roman numeral 2, we studied how the Ottomans, or the Turks, who you remember now, they are Muslims. They are a branch of the Muslim faith. And then under Roman numeral 2, we studied how the Turks took Jerusalem. In December of 1517, the Turks, under Sultan Selim, conquered Jerusalem. And so we studied how he took Jerusalem. Now, Roman numeral 3, we studied the Turk leader, Suleiman the Magnificent. Now, did I complete the study of that? Okay, we studied that. Let me see here. It should have 8 points. Ah, good. Roman numeral 4, Jerusalem after Suleiman's death. Is this where I left off? Okay. All right, Roman numeral 4, the study in the history of Jerusalem. Roman numeral 3 was Suleiman the Magnificent, and remember all the building that he did, because that's not going to be a whole lot more to study about Jerusalem. Roman numeral 4, Jerusalem. Now we're going to take a look at Jerusalem after Suleiman's death. That's what I want to take a look at now. Point one. After his death, Jerusalem began another great decline. The city of Jerusalem began another great decline. Its population decreased immensely. Two, throughout the 16th and 17th century, there were only some 10,000 inhabitants in Jerusalem. That's all. Some 10,000 inhabitants in Jerusalem throughout the 16th and 17th century. Three, a small Turkish garrison was about all that remained in the city. And when I say that, what I'm saying here is that this small Turkish garrison was the only thing in Jerusalem that would be evidence that it was part of a Turkish empire, is what the point is here. There was a small Turkish garrison in Jerusalem, and that's all there was that let anyone know that it was part of the Turkish empire. Four. After the Turkish conquest, Jews had been expelled from Spain. You'll have to coordinate your dates and things. Jews were expelled from Spain, and these Jews began to move into Jerusalem. Immediately, they began to establish a building of synagogues. As soon as the Jews started coming into Jerusalem at this time, into Palestine, from the Spanish Inquisition and the slaughtering of Jews in Spain, they began to build synagogues. Four synagogues became the center of the Jewish community. This complex still exists. It's been rebuilt, but the area is there. In fact, I just tell you, they were destroyed not long after they were built in a Jordanian rebellion, and then they were rebuilt in 1970s. They're now in use, by the way. The same synagogues were destroyed, or broken down, not destroyed completely, but they were rebuilt in 1972 and are used. Now, point five. Jerusalem remained in silence in this period, all of the period of time that we're now dealing with, the 1600s and the 1700s. Jerusalem really remained in silence after so many centuries of war and slaughtering during the period of the Crusades. It really is a non-important town. People they're tired of Jerusalem. Also remember, just to help you relate, everything going on in history is what's fun. Jerusalem is not important anymore because what's going on in Europe, some of those things I just told you about, discoveries are going on, the printing press. In other words, countries are doing their own thing now. They're not worried about Jerusalem. They're not concerned about Jerusalem and what's going on in Jerusalem. The Turks are doing that, and it's a vast wilderness anyway. Who wants it? So all these other things are going on. You're fighting the Reformation. You can't be worried about Jerusalem. The Catholic Church is. They're fighting the Reformers. The Reformers are fighting the Catholics. People are going to the Americas, the printing press, medicine. Everything's going on. You just don't have time. If nothing else was going on, we'd probably be still fighting at Jerusalem. But since everything else is going on, forget Jerusalem. Okay, that's just the feel of what's happening in history. Point six. Many descriptions are given of Jerusalem during this time. I'll just quote one of them. You don't have to write it, but just so you can pick up a word like the word sorry state, because that's the way it is described by a person in that time. A sorry state with narrow streets, abandoned houses on the brink of collapse, the buildings and the walls erected by Suleiman lost their splendor, a number of residential areas were reduced to open fields. I just pull that out as one description of Jerusalem during this period. Point seven, Jerusalem and all of Palestine went into economic decline. The only real business in the city that we're studying was the making of soap and religious articles. The walls crumbled. The city was not even attractive from a military point of view. It was not attractive economically. It wasn't even attractive from a military point of view. The walls are down. There was religious toleration in Jerusalem at this time, 1500, 1600, 1700. Religious toleration in Jerusalem and Palestine. Remember, the Turks are in control. High taxes placed a great burden on the people, and they're still under high taxes in Jerusalem and Palestine, as you know. And from this time on, they continue to be. Jews around the world, this is where we start this movement now in a strong way. We saw it right after the 70 A.D. But Jews around the world are sending money and aid to the city of Jerusalem and Palestine. This also adds to anti-Semitism by people in countries around the world, in Germany, Spain, and everywhere else. Jews around the world are sending money that they're making in their countries. They're sending money to the Jews of Jerusalem and Palestine. These contributions were the only thing keeping the area alive. These contributions caused anti-Semitism by people, and a lot of problems are starting to arise with the Jews because of what's going on in this way with Jews out over everywhere else. Eight, Jerusalem was made up of Jews and an equal number of Christians and an equal number of Muslims. Muslim authorities were called in to, many times, were called in this period of time, called in many times just to keep some peace among the various Christian communities. The Christians were fighting each other. Some of them, I remember reading, some of them, remember the Church of the Holy Sepulchre? The Christians would actually have a fight, and I mean with weapons, to see who would worship in the main sanctuary of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and divide the whole Christian community. Just divided completely up, so the Muslims, the Turks had to send in their army just to straighten out these Christians. Alright? Farmers, the land, and the herds, the cattlemen, were in severe economic trouble, highly taxed. And what was not taxed and all that was stolen. The robbery was very high throughout Palestine, and still is, by the way. If you've ever seen current pictures of Jerusalem and want to know about the wilderness, you can put this down. I remember reading this one. A tax was placed on every tree at this time, and this caused such a burden that by the end of the 19th century, there was hardly a tree left in all of Palestine. So a tax on the trees, people didn't like paying the taxes, so they, what they did, they cut down the trees. Therefore, the land truly became desolate, a desert, as it is today. Water wells were drained. Erosion covering the whole land of Jerusalem and Palestine as much of it is today. There were skirmishes between Muslim groups, little small battles between Muslim groups, which led to even further destruction of the city of Jerusalem and Palestine. Nine, in the spring of 1799, just from the verge going into the 1800s, the 19th century, in 1799, Napoleon Bonaparte, after his defeat at the Battle of the Nile, led his forces north, just as the Roman Emperor Vespasian had done. Remember, Vespasian is the father of Titus, who destroyed Jerusalem in 70 A.D. So in this, I'm giving you point nine. In the spring of 1799, Napoleon Bonaparte, after his defeat at the Battle of the Nile, in Egypt, obviously, led his forces north, just as the Roman Emperor Vespasian had done 1,700 years before. See, we've covered 1,700 years of history. Napoleon took Jaffa, the seaport of Jaffa, in March. He was held in check. Napoleon was held in check by a Turco-British force at the very famous city of Acre. Remember, this is where Richard the Lionheart had a great battle, the city of Acre. You can put in parentheses so you'll have all of this now. The Turks ruled Egypt from Constantinople. So they have Constantinople coming down around the Mediterranean curve, Palestine, Syria, Palestine, Lebanon, Syria, Palestine, going down into Egypt. Napoleon fought and won a very important battle at Jezreel, right near where Nazareth, very famous city of Nazareth that we've studied. Napoleon, like Vespasian, did not try to take Jerusalem. Napoleon did make a proposal, though, to all of the Jews in Palestine. Napoleon made a proposal to all the Jews of Palestine to join him in liberating their country from both the Turks, the British, and everybody else. The Jews were poor, frightened, and really downheartened, and refused to join in fighting for their freedom. In June, Napoleon left Palestine forever. His invasion of Palestine merely added to the desolation of the country. I do want to tell you one thing about Napoleon at this point that I feel some of you would be interested in knowing. When he was in Egypt, one of his soldiers, he was very strong in digging the trenches and everything, and one of his soldiers found the very famous Rosetta Stone. The very famous Rosetta Stone was found by one of his men. And Rosetta, I'll show you where Rosetta is. Here is the coming down around. Then you have all of the canals, river arm branches that go into the Nile. Well, here is the very famous area of Rosetta. Alexandria is right there. And he found the Rosetta Stone. Let me just tell you very quickly about the Rosetta Stone. Very important and why it's important to history. It dates back to 180 B.C. The Rosetta Stone dates back to 180 B.C. by a priest of Ptolemy the Fourth, P-T-O-L-E-M-Y, excuse me, the Fifth, Ptolemy the Fifth. Now, what the Rosetta Stone has, the Rosetta Stone has two forms of ancient Egyptian. It has two forms of ancient Egyptian and one of Greek. Now, I cannot write ancient Egyptian. Didn't take ancient Egyptian. It wasn't offered. But it would have, the Rosetta Stone has three forms. It has two forms of ancient Egyptian. So here is the ancient Egyptian, and we have two forms. So let's say here is one form, and then we have another form. But then over here, they had on it was Greek. And here we have the Greek. See, like this. So what this was enabled, in fact, this is the beginning. The founding of this stone by Napoleon's soldier is where we start with the study of Egyptology. Because what the scholars could do now, they could go back and figure out Egyptian writing, because we knew the Greek, but we did not know either of the ancient Egyptians. So what we did through the Rosetta Stone, go back and find out all of these words. Then you can go to all the pottery, all the slabs, all the walls, everything in Egypt, because you've broken the key. And that opened up at this point in the beginning of the 19th century. We have really the beginning of Egyptology because of the Rosetta Stone. Now, in case you're wondering about one other thing, and I know you are, the Rosetta Stone is in the British Museum rather than in the Louvre of Paris. The reason being is because the English beat Napoleon in war. And when they beat Napoleon in Egypt, they lost the Rosetta Stone. Therefore, the Rosetta Stone is in the British Museum, and that's how war can make the difference in where things are, even in that way of life. But that's why it's in the British Museum rather than the Louvre. That answers that question that you've wondered about for many, many years. And now you know. Well, I do promise, if you want, we'll go ahead and finish up just a quick look at the history, just dates of when things happened. And it really, Jerusalem's about through. And then we'll get back to the study of Nehemiah. You do remember we were studying the book of Nehemiah in the Bible. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Well, gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, as we study not only history of Jerusalem, but history itself, all the things that occur in history, we sense once again the heritage of Christianity, those believers who love the Word of God and love the Lord, who fought with religion, who fought with the secular world, all of the attacks on the Bible, the printing press, the widespread printing of the Bible, and all of the changes that have occurred in history. And yet, Heavenly Father, we realize it's still up to the individual and his decision toward Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Just then, Father, we do pray in Christ's name. Amen.